Today's reading is in John chapter 19, starting in verse 12. John 19, verse 12. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes him a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold, your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out, bearing his own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." As I mentioned yesterday, Pilate is looking for a reason to release Jesus. He does not find any guilt in him. He does not see any reason to crucify him. But he is afraid of the people. He wants to appease them. And I think they know how to push his buttons. We see from this particular section today that they know exactly what to say to make him do what they want him to do. They make this statement that he wouldn't be a friend of Caesar's. Well, he serves at the appointing of the Roman Caesar. And so he's in danger then of losing his job if that kind of talk made it back to Caesar. But Pilate doesn't really want anything to do with killing this man. There are some things that I give Pilate credit for, and one is I think he has a conscience about killing an innocent man, a man that is falsely accused, that hasn't done anything that breaks Roman law. Make no mistake, when they state that if you release this man, you're not Caesar's friend, they're threatening him. That is a threat. Pilate goes and sits on this judgment seat and again mocks the idea of Jesus being a king, this humble, lowly person from Nazareth. "Behold, your king." He doesn't look kingly. He doesn't look princely. There's nothing attractive about him. At this point, he's been mistreated and beaten. He's probably bruised up. But "behold, your king." And then he says, "Shall I crucify your king?" Again, they go back to this idea of Caesar. "We have no king but Caesar." Now remember, they wanted the Messiah to come to be a liberator, to make them a world power again, to throw off the Roman government and make them independent. Yet here, they make this statement, "We have no king but Caesar." Well, they're playing both sides. They're just doing what's convenient for the moment. This is quite a change from what you see in chapter 6, verse 15, when it says that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king. There they wanted him to be king. There they wanted to make him king. And here we have no king but Caesar. It's just convenience of the moment. These threats and these statements do work in pushing him where they want him to go. And so he delivers them up to be crucified, and Jesus then bears his cross out to Golgotha, and there they crucified him. And then Pilate puts this inscription up on there, and I'm unclear as to whether he's mocking Jesus or he's mocking the Jewish people. I think he's upset at being pushed into doing something that he doesn't want to do. And so I think this is a jab at the people when he puts above the cross, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And they wanted him to clarify that that's merely his claim, but he says, what I've written, I have written. It's done. I'm not going to change it. What's ironic is that Jesus is king. What's ironic is that those Jewish leaders nor Pilate had any power over him that he didn't allow them to have. What's ironic is that Jesus reigns today, not only in despite what they did to him, but the fact that what they did to him fulfilled the plan of God. As we talked about in our class last night, God is all-knowing. God is all-powerful. And God is ever-present in all places. He knew exactly what was going to happen, and it was part of his plan. And if it hadn't been part of his plan, he wouldn't have allowed it. He wouldn't have gone along with it. Yes, God was dwelling in the man of a body, the body of a man, but that didn't mean he was limited to the power of a man. The Jews didn't know it, and Pilate didn't know it, but they were doing the work of God in all of these events. As terrible as they are, as unjust as they are, they still were doing the work of God. And that's one of the difficult things, is that we don't always understand what God's doing. We don't understand how events play out and how they fit into what is the plan and the will of God. We look at this and we think this is the worst thing that could have happened to Jesus, but Jesus came to be the Lamb of God. We need to have faith. We need to have faith in God's power, but also in God's knowledge, God's will. And I'm here to do his will. I'm here to be a servant. And he has told me that I would always be his as long as I still remain his servant. Something to think about and pray about today. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.